too much smiling when nothing funny was said, too much bending over when it's not loud in the room, and too many fast movements due to being nervous and excited. These signs indicate to a girl that the guy probably doesn't have a lot of experience and is overly happy to be talking to her. If you find yourself using these behaviors, slow things down and lean back. Not only does this act as a way to disassociate yourself from the interaction, but it displays the correct "I don't care" body language. Humans tend to lean toward a person who is pulling away from them. Whether it be with body language or emotions, there will be a lot of situations where no textbook answer will be available to guide you. For instance, what if you're going upstairs and you see a really cute girl coming downstairs? Do you get in her way, or do you make a U-turn and start stalking her? I get in her way and playfully accuse her of going down the wrong side of the stairs. How about if you approach a group of girls, and the one you don't like is chatting you up the most? Do you continue talking with her in the hopes of incorporating yourself into the group, or do you gently reject her and move on to your target? I talk to her for no more than a minute, until I ask the girl I prefer a question that starts a new conversation. The best way to deal with the hundreds of possible situations that occur in a pickup is to do something and then take note of the result. If the result wasn't favorable, try something different next time. This willingness to experiment will quickly get you up to speed with the situations that happen most frequently. It's through experimentation that you'll discover a style of game that works best for you. One night I tried to do a little experiment with one-word openers in a large club. I stuck with a simple "hey" or "hi," and tried only those for the entire night. For a reason that's still not clear to me, I learned that "hey" did a much better job than "hi" at stopping girls and getting their attention. I run a different experiment almost every time I go out, just to see what happens and to discover the style that works best for me. It's possible that you're so different from me that "hi" will actually work better than "hey," but there's no way to find out unless you try them both. The only time I keep experimentation to a minimum is when it counts, when I am gaming a girl that I consider above the rest. Then it's best to use the game I already know works. If you see a girl you like and think about approaching her, you must do it. No matter how difficult or unnatural the situation may appear, even if you feel nervous and know you're going to bomb. I often find myself in a coffee shop where there is a tough approach at the table next to me. Even if I'm not in the mood and think the odds of a successful approach are zero, I still make myself do it. Not only does this eliminate the fear of approaching over time, but it also teaches you how to deal with tough situations. It won't be common that a girl you like is going to be standing alone in a place without distraction where everyone knows your name. She's going to be surrounded by factors that will make it difficult for you, and the sooner you harden your mind to deal with these situations, the faster you'll get better at handling them. Before I talk about how to build attraction after the opener, let's take a detour and discuss what attitude or vibe girls find most attractive. The vibe. There's an optimal vibe to possess that will attract most women, one that is effective at hitting their attraction buttons. No matter what you look like or what game style you implement, it gives you the most bang for your time and energy buck, eliminating the need to make game adjustments for different types of girls. It's what you see in many successful players. Let's call it the vibe. Men with the vibe appreciate the value of life. This appreciation leads to desirable qualities women find attractive, such as an acceptance of who you are. You look at the big picture and become indifferent to life's trivialities. You're in control of your emotions and don't let any one person or event break you down. If you believe that your time here on Earth is limited and that your destiny is what you create, it's impossible to treat approaching and dating and banging as more than a fun diversion to entertain yourself with. When something doesn't go your way, you respond with humor and wit instead of anger and emotion. You understand that your energy is better suited for big battles, such as job layoffs or family deaths, and not for rejections by strangers. You're a surfer riding a wave, adapting to its energy instead of fighting it. You adjust to your environment, getting the most out of the situations you face, whether you're riding small East Coasters or the monsters of Hawaii. Emotional control is the most important component of the vibe. With it, your intellect and logic will always be dominant over the primitive areas of your brain, allowing you to solve problems and make rapid adjustments. It's hard to make the strategic decisions required of the game if you get easily upset or angry. You don't have a deep concern over your interactions with women, if you're doing things right or not, because you know one interaction doesn't determine your value as a human being. Indirectly, having emotional control shows that you're not needy. You don't cling to a girl early on when you have your emotions in check. You show that you aren't counting on any one person or event for your happiness. Women you meet will play their games and wonder why you aren't reacting like all the other guys. In the process of trying to get you to react and respond, she'll give you enough attention for you to tighten the attraction hold and to move things forward. Appreciating life means you're more likely to spend your free time educating yourself with books, travel, and unique experiences. As a result, you'll always have something interesting to say when you meet a new girl. A desire to become more cultured and mentally sharp gives you an unlimited supply of topics to discuss with intelligence and wisdom, a quality women find attractive. You don't ask the same boring questions all the other guys ask, because you understand that to be an interesting person, you need to say interesting things, and to say interesting things, you need to experience them firsthand. Another result of appreciating life is that you place a high value on your time. You don't waste it with people who aren't fulfilling your needs. You're choosy about the friends you hang out with and the women you date. You have no problem walking away from a girl who isn't your type, whether it be 3 minutes or 3 months into the interaction. You know what quality is and feel that you deserve to have it in your life. A girl is lucky you selected her to hang out with, because you'll give her the best of what your personality and experience have to offer. While it's okay to have fun in a bar and talk to average girls for cheap thrills and practice, you'll commit the bulk of your time and energy to girls who are worth it. Selecting for quality displays that you are quality. A final component of the vibe is having a playful nature. It's present in people who have the ability to quickly develop connections with others. Being playful with a sense of humor attracts girls like a magnet because of the positive atmosphere it creates. While you don't want to be a clown, understand that playfulness is an extremely effective human bonding technique. Your sense of humor can be dry, sharp, or sarcastic, as long as it accurately describes or pokes fun of the world we live in. Being playful doesn't mean you have to be loud and attention-seeking. It means you have to put a fun spin on all types of situations you find yourself in. The vibe uses a strategy to build attraction through personality instead of factors like status, looks, and money. Even if you possess those things, it's still best to use your personality to attract women because it offers a strong hook to catch those that are less superficial. There's always going to be another guy with higher status, better looks, or more money than you, but the odds that he'll have the same awesome personality are minuscule. 3 years after getting into the game, I had my shit together. I had a successful career and lived in a large house in a good neighborhood. I had a motorcycle and bartended part-time at an upscale venue. I had a respectable brand-name wardrobe, and I had just ended a short but successful club DJ career. When I met a new girl, I would not so casually tell her how cool I was by bringing up my motorcycle, my bartending gig, and my experience as a DJ. On paper, I thought I had all the cool qualities a girl needed, but I proceeded to have the worst slump since getting into the game. The reason was because I stopped using my personality to attract girls. Instead, I was using accomplishments or status to try to impress her, just like every other guy. After I realized what I was doing, I went back to depending on the vibe and started withholding information about myself, so girls would have to dig to find out more. I went back to being an interesting, mysterious character, instead of just another guy who owned a sport bike. You must resist the temptation to brag about all the qualities you think are positive. It's much better if the girl finds out on her own and wonders what else could be buried inside. Be like a Russian doll with layers upon layers of substance. By the time she has sex with you, she'll know less than half of all your positive qualities. As time goes on and she learns more, she'll get even more hooked on you because you didn't blurt out your qualities in an obvious attempt to impress her when you first met. The vibe possesses features that are indirectly communicated to the girls you meet. In other words, it is subcommunicated through exposure to your words and body language. You never say that you value your time or are playful. It becomes a part of your essence that leaks out to those who interact with you. For example, men who value their time tend to be selective about the girls they choose to spend time with. This attitude manifests itself in words when he says things to girls like, "You're pretty weird," or "You're too old for me," without conscious effort on his part. It just comes out, and she gets more into him as a result. Instead of teaching you 100 different lines, it's more effective to teach you the mindset that produces them. Once you've mastered this mindset, talking to girls will be easier and more of them will be interested in you. Conversation, themes, and threads. One of the biggest problems guys have is running out of things to say after the approach. This is a real problem because a prolonged silence less than 30 minutes into the conversation is certain death. If I pause for longer than 10 seconds during those initial 30 minutes, the pickup will die. The good news is that later on in the night and on the first date and after, silences are not only accepted, but welcome. They show that you're not trying too hard to please her, but this is well after she has decided she wants to spend time with you. There are two reasons why silence early on is bad. First, girls don't have many things to say to people they're not sure about. Until she feels attracted to you, she won't have the need to work through an awkward silence. Second, most girls believe that if two people have instant chemistry, there's no reason to run out of things to say right after meeting. To her, both of you should be tripping over each other in deep conversation. While instant chemistry does happen, you'll usually grow on her after a period of time. Therefore, you'll be doing more than 70% of the talking for at least 30 minutes after the approach. Once she becomes comfortable with you and decides she's interested, there will be less pressure to come up with things to say. This early stage conversation may sound random to an eavesdropping spectator, but it's actually structured and highly organized. Because you have a goal and an accompanying strategy of using the vibe, tested material, and soon, specific moves to escalate the encounter, in the form of effective routines for building attraction. No matter how smart or interesting you are, it's impossible to speak for those first 30 minutes without messing up, saying something stupid, or going into a completely lame topic. Luckily, girls will give you a pass on many of the foolish things you'll say. They understand that not every sentence that comes out of your mouth has to be a blockbuster. But if you continue to bomb, she'll boo you off the stage. When you first start talking to a new girl, you may be so pumped that you talk too fast, interrupt her, and disregard things she has said because you had another line or statement in mind. You'll have the urge to say things already marinated in your head, even though the conversation is going somewhere else. Resist that temptation because it leads to choppy, disconnected conversation. Realize that the more she talks, the better, because she'll be giving you ideas and material to continue even further. Talk at a normal, relaxed pace, like you would to a close buddy. An entire conversation will have many threads, topics that lead to other topics. Threads promote natural conversation because you can easily hop around without getting stuck on a path that leads to a dead end. The conversation you have from following those threads will be created on the fly, depending upon the direction and energy of the interaction. Even though you'll use the same thread repeatedly on different girls, there's no need to memorize the delivery word for word. Conversation threads can be categorized into themes. The first theme is people, which includes conversation about you, her, or others. It concerns appearances, trends, rumors, gossip, and observations, people watching. For instance, you can gently tease her, without making fun of her, about something she's wearing or something unique to her look. Example, I noticed your shoes match your shirt. I think you did that on purpose. She'll say she did. Your response? I understand, because it took me forever to match my outfit. Go on to give your thoughts about how people look in the environment you're in and the patterns you've noticed. For instance, if she's wearing a large necklace, say, have you noticed that the things people are wearing on their necks are getting larger and larger? Throw in a Flavor Flav reference about how he pioneered large neck jewelry. It's okay to talk about clothing as long as you show only basic fashion knowledge. If you start dropping words like couture, the girl may think you're a homosexual. I like to go into a spiel about my 4-year-old jeans and how the holes are natural and can't be duplicated. Rumors and gossip are related threads that fall within the people theme. Take advantage of a girl's addiction to both by using them in conversation. Example, there's a rumor going around that you don't like my shirt. Is that true? My mom helped me pick it out. Or point to the poorest-looking guy in the place and say, you see that guy over there? He's the owner. He doesn't look like it, does he? Your friends are a great source for fabricating fun tales. My favorite. My friend right here used to be a club dancer. He used to dance in those cages suspended from the ceiling. Not many people know this, but he regularly wore costumes with feathers. People watching is another thread you can use. Simply point out a couple and say, what do you think about these two? Do you think they're just friends or something more? After she gives her opinion, give yours with an interesting analysis. Example, they're definitely just friends because their faces are more than 16 inches apart, which, according to psychologists, is the intimacy threshold. Or say, they're definitely going out because he appears to actually be listening to her. The next theme is current state. You make fun observations or pose interesting questions about the current environment you're sharing. If you're at a bar, say, I really like how this loud bar makes it so easy for us to connect. Through the smoke, distractions, and loud music, our bond cannot be broken. Add, it's ironic that the place most people meet others is a place where it's hardest to do. Maybe throw in a statement of the ideal way to meet someone, involving little pieces of paper that ask, "Do you like me?" with answers of yes, no, and maybe. If a girl looks slightly bored, say, "If you're not having a good time, I recommend you get up on the bar and dance. Anytime I see a girl dancing on the bar, she looks pretty happy, though it doesn't work for me." If you're in a snobby environment, say, "God, this bar scene is so fake. Everyone is just about appearances and possessions. So what kind of car do you drive?" Another line, "I dance, but I don't want to make everyone here jealous of my skills. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I'm pretty good." Another one, "I thought I'd get a private table with bottles of Grey Goose, but I think I'm going to keep it low-key tonight and mingle with the commoners." Another, "I hope this is a good place where I can find an older woman to wine and dine me and take me on vacation." And finally, "The music here is kind of lame. I hope they put on some Madonna soon." Additional current state themes include talking about how the location reminds you of something else. For instance, if you're at a coffee shop, say, "I only come here because people watching motivates me to work. At home, I can't get anything done." If you're on public transportation, say, "Does it look like everyone here is really sad? It's like people make the effort to look mean or upset so no one talks to them." Don't ask a girl if she comes to a certain place often, because it's too cliché. If you're really curious, say, "I don't think I've seen you here before." These type of statements have the potential to create interesting conversation, as long as both of you have opinions relating to them. They make it easier for her to talk. Things you've observed about life and specific environments usually make for great threads. Threads about travel are highly recommended because they allow you to go into stories that reveal some of the amazing things you've experienced. It doesn't have to be international travel. Even if you just visited one city over, you can still tell her about something interesting you observed. The basic formula for beginning travel threads is, "I was recently at blank," followed by a short anecdote. For example, "I was recently at this bar in Barcelona, and there was a main floor where everyone danced, and a small room upstairs that only had men. It was so small that they were touching and grinding on each other. It was interesting." Or, "I was recently at this bar in York, Pennsylvania, where I learned to really appreciate the scene we have here." Then go into the scene differences. You can also go into travel experiences with, "That reminds me of the time I was in blank." Another travel thread, "I read that more than 98% of Americans don't have a passport. I was pretty surprised because as the richest country in the world, you'd think that most people here would be interested in learning about other cultures." What's great about a line like this is that it qualifies her. If she hasn't traveled recently, her value decreases compared to yours. Travel threads work well on girls who are adventurous and travel themselves. The future theme is my personal favorite. Here you can be creative and really get her imagination going. It's also more exciting than talking about the present, which probably involves both of you wage-slaving away in some cubicle. I have an anti-corporation routine I use often. I've been working for 6 years, and while I like my job, I'm really curious about what else is out there. I don't want to be 70 years old on my deathbed, wondering how my life would have been if I hadn't taken a chance. Maybe you want to start an interesting business or do something creative like painting or writing. These are great things to share because they show you have a passion you're working on, and that you aren't someone who just fills his spare time with expensive, meaningless hobbies. Bring these up in a casual way that fits naturally into the conversation. A heavy but thought-provoking question I like to throw out after I've talked about my plans is, "So what do you plan on doing with your life?" When it's obvious you're both single, say, "I prefer a fantasy relationship like I see in the movies, instead of one where I have to, you know, sacrifice. I don't know how anyone wants to sacrifice in relationships anymore." By now you've probably noticed that I like to ask questions or bring up topics that stir up a little insecurity or doubt. This is because I want her to focus on her flaws and problems instead of mine. She's on stage being evaluated, not me, increasing the likelihood that she'll do things to impress me. Then we have the qualification theme. The threads will be about her and whether she's capable in a way you desire. You won't come out and say, "So, do you possess these qualities I want in a woman?" But you'll insinuate it. She'll then assume you're selective and know what you want. Ask if she cooks. I say, "I had a female roommate once, and she was great at cooking frozen chicken nuggets, but nothing else." If she can't cook and you love home-cooked meals, say, minus a million points, as if you're keeping a running tally of her worth. You can exchange cooking with a skill that's important to you. If you're an artist, you can ask if she draws or paints. An important one for me is if she takes care of her body. I ask girls if they go to the gym, and almost all of them, regardless of weight, say yes. Then I dive into a fun bit where I ask her to flex. She'll flex her bicep, and I gently squeeze it to size up her muscle. Then I say, okay, go ahead, flex. Anytime now. Since she's already flexing, the joke is that her muscle is too small. Credit goes to Mystery, who came up with it first. Then I flex for her and tell her how much I dominate in the gym and scare little children. Feel free to add, actually, I got so big that I had to stop going for a while. This works especially well if you're not huge. Then there are qualification threads where you peg her on something that's not entirely favorable. For instance, you seem like the kind of girl who likes reality television, am I right? I then add with a smile, I don't watch TV anymore. I've weaned myself off the glass teat. The questions you ask will depend upon what you want in a girl. Just like when a manager interviews you for a position and asks about your experience, you'll ask a girl in a fun and indirect way about the qualities you desire. Ask if she has them and then provide an interesting explanation about that quality. I also ask a girl where she lives because I'm not trying to spend hours on the road to date her. I then go into a story that long-distance relationships are a myth, like the Yeti. If she grew up in a different city, state, or country, then you ask about the differences she's noticed. It would be a good opportunity to explain what you like or don't like about the city you're sharing at the moment, which makes interesting conversation easy. Bring up qualification questions at about the 10 to 20 minute mark. They'll have more impact if you've been talking a while. Finally, you have the screwball theme, where you throw out odd questions when the conversation is stalling, despite your best attempts. Here you'll get a chance to experiment with exotic material that teaches you how women respond in atypical situations. Ask a girl what reasons she'd attribute to the fall of the Roman Empire, adding, well, according to the movie Gladiator. Ask, what artistic period do you think best represented the humanity of man? Ask what once in a blue moon really means. If girls respond well to your screwball questions, you may want to incorporate them into your standard game. These types of questions teach you to relax and not to take the game so seriously. I don't recommend you talk about sex. You can still get laid by asking her questions about porno and her favorite sex positions. But I can't help but shake something an old friend once told me. Those who talk about sex the most are the ones who get it the least. After you have sex with a girl, I recommend short exchanges where you tell her about sexual things you like. But before that, talking about it isn't going to help. For all a girl knows, I'm a virgin who doesn't even know what sex is. This is good news if you're sexually inexperienced, because if you don't bring it up, chances are she won't either. Threads serve to help keep the conversation going. Because conversations aren't scripted or memorized, you'll be going into approaches with just some ideas and keywords of what to talk about. From that point, you'll need to use your brain to maintain interesting conversation in real time. These threads fill silences with material that builds attraction. While we want to hop naturally from one thread to the next, if you're facing a deadly silence, just blurt out whatever's in your head. It's okay to seem a little random for the sake of continuing the interaction. The guys who are fast learners at pickup were already chatty beforehand. All they had to do was change a little of their content to optimize it for a different purpose and audience. If you aren't chatty, you'll need to get chatty, because the game is more Night at the Improv than Swingers. Improvisational comedians never say the exact same thing twice, but they do go into their acts with a huge toolbox of stapled jokes, facial expressions, and stock phrases. The only difference is that their primary goal is to make people laugh, while yours is to get laid. Even though most of the examples I've given use humor, keep in mind that their purpose is to hook her attention, make her laugh, and to get ready for a conversation during which you're going to display value through your opinions, wit, and experience. Humor also helps us screen girls who take themselves too seriously. Her failure to understand your humor tells you it's time to move on to a girl who is more down to earth and open to your game. The threads I've shared so far have statements that you'll be tempted to memorize, but even for me, they never come out the same way twice. They always change and evolve. Exceptions are scripted routines, which remain static because they're already optimized. If you have trouble remembering threads or routines you want to use, I recommend sending yourself a text message and locking it so it stays in your inbox. No one will know what you're doing when you want to take a peek. Routines. Routines are scripted material that's effective at building attraction. Unlike conversation threads, which are fluid and short, routines are longer, more static, and harder to deliver. In this section, I'll discuss two routines that are worth your time to study, ones I've used hundreds of times. Additional routines that are best used on dates will be discussed later in the book. A popular routine that has been passed on since the turn of the century is the opinion opener. While many guys use it to open, I find that its effectiveness is maximized when used after the opener. The routine starts with, "Hey, I need a female opinion on something." You ask your question and then explain it thoroughly to allow for a rich answer. The impact of this opener is not the question, but the explanation you give during which you display your humor and confidence. My default opinion routine concerns mustaches. "I'm going to grow a mustache, and I know it's going to be popular once I start the trend again, but I'm wondering what kind of mustache should I grow? Should it curl up or down?" The girl will laugh and tell me that I shouldn't grow a mustache at all, and then I go on to say a real man shouldn't bring a razor to his face. As usual, say these humorous or sarcastic lines with a slight smirk. Pick a creative question that lets you go on about whatever it is you are asking. Another example of a fun opinion routine. "My friend has fallen on tough times and is working for cleaning services at a local high school, but he doesn't know how to bring it up to girls he meets. Should he lie?" You can add, "Would you date a school janitor if he had a great personality?" Playfully tease her if she hesitates to answer. It's okay if your opinion isn't based on complete truth, but the more it relates to your life, the more natural your delivery will be. The next routine is the most powerful I have. It's something I make sure to use with every girl I talk to because it hits each positive component of the vibe. It's the "I want to break up with you" routine. The best time to do it is about 5 to 10 minutes into the interaction, after you've already established stable conversation. First, set up the routine by asking a question that shows how you and your target are different. Because I like cats and most girls like dogs, I ask a girl out of the blue, "Do you like cats or dogs?" If she likes cats like I do, I postpone the routine. But if she says dogs, most do, I appear disappointed and say, "Oh, really? That's not good because I really like cats." Then I begin the routine. I have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that I don't think it's going to work out between us. We're going to have to break up. Have a disappointed look on your face. The average response will be laughter, but sometimes the girl starts role-playing as your newly dumped girlfriend. She'll say, "Oh no, how am I going to go on with life?" You'll continue, "I know it will be very hard for you to move on, because it will be impossible to find a guy like me, but I'm sure as the years go by, there may be a guy who is a suitable replacement." Another thing you can say is, "I know we had a lot of good times together, so this really wasn't an easy decision, but I know for me it's the right thing to do." Then, once you've passed the role-playing peak, hit her with the good news. But then there's the good news. "Yesterday I saved a lot of money on my car insurance." If any one routine defines my game, this is it. Optimized over years of practice. I can't stress how important it is to include this in your game. If both of you like the same animal, you'll have to manufacture a quality where there is a difference in preference. Sometimes I use her age if we're more than a couple years apart. It doesn't matter what quality you use, because you just want a plausible segue to get the routine going. You can also launch into this routine after asking her one of your qualification questions from earlier, such as, "Can you cook?" You may have an initial resistance to using scripted material, but chances are you are already using them. If you've ever told a story more than once, you're using a routine, a conversational piece that you know your audience will positively respond to. If you've ever repeated an opinion with the same backing evidence, you've used a routine. Openers and routines come together to form a conversation that girls enjoy. You're giving them what they want, fun vibes from an interesting guy. The only problem with repeating the same thing over and over again is that you tend to go from telling to reciting. You begin to talk faster and limit eye contact while you stare off in space and speak from memory. As long as you keep your pace at a normal rate and maintain eye contact at all times, there's little probability that she'll think you're using a routine. And even if she does, as long as she's enjoying your company, she won't care. Through threads and routines, you'll be saying a lot of funny things. But whatever you do, Don't laugh at your own jokes. The single unifying trait of lame men everywhere is that they laugh at their own material, regardless of whether their audience thought they were funny or not. It's a sign of insecurity. If you tell a joke and the girl doesn't laugh, you shouldn't laugh. Don't repeat jokes or sayings that people don't respond to. A strong hint to drop them from your repertoire. Once you understand the structure of a good routine, you can create them on your own. A custom routine has to start with an observation or realization about a topic that girls understand. For instance, let's say I've noticed that girls look attractive when the bar lights are turned down low, and I want to see if this would be a good topic to introduce into my game. First, I relay my observation to her in the form of a question. Then, after allowing her to respond, I give an explanation with added detail, humor, or storytelling. For example, I've been to a lot of bars and clubs in the area, and I've made note of the ones with the least amount of light. Now I go to the dark ones, so I can be surrounded by only beautiful people. It's like I'm in Sweden. The only problem is that if you meet someone in the dark, you have to hang out in places that are dark as well. Here I imply that I'm well-traveled, knowledgeable of the scene, and aware of female attractiveness. Routines are an indirect, non-bragging way to tell a girl how awesome you are. After I construct a new routine, I try it out a few times to see if girls respond positively. Does the routine result in interesting conversation that flows? Is it easy to jump from this routine into other topics? If so, I add it to my collection. Otherwise, I drop it and experiment with another one. It's great when you come up with a blockbuster routine that makes her cry with laughter. But a routine's purpose is also to keep the conversation going, to build attraction, and to serve as a vehicle to share your opinions, wit, and humor. Some of your routines should be sedate, because a non-stop barrage of excitement may cause her to see you as a performer. Pretend you're a DJ who throws in a crappy song every now and then to make the good song seem really good by comparison. Routines are a necessary component of your game because they display your value while filling in those first 30 minutes. Soon you'll speak in routine form because they're the most optimal way to present ideas, opinions, and stories. Compliments and insults. None of the material I've discussed so far contains direct compliments. There's a time and place for simple ones, such as, you look nice tonight on dates when a girl's interest in you is obvious. But compliments early on are difficult to implement without appearing beta or too nice. This is especially true with regard to her looks. Never tell a girl that she is beautiful or hot, because that increases her value relative to yours. Unless you happen to be more handsome than she is beautiful. Not complimenting will help because you're withholding a reward that all women want, one they'll stick around to hear. As an extension to not complimenting a girl, don't discuss your feelings of emotion or attraction for her. Never tell a girl you like her or feel something for her. Beta males have a serious problem with telling their lady friends they like them as more than a friend, even though they know nothing good can come out of it. Only in movies will discussing your feelings get the desirable female. We don't use direct game, where we walk up to a girl and tell her she is beautiful. We use indirect game, without compliments, where she's never completely sure about our feelings for her. She's always forced to interpret our words instead of being certain that she has our affection. You're not hiding anything, you're just being mysterious. But resist the urge to try to make your actions indirect by toning down the way you get her number, ask her out, or kiss her. Don't get the barista's email address by saying you want to send her a picture when what you really want to do is have a drink with her. Ask if she wants to have a drink with you. Don't ask a coworker, who works in a faraway department, I hope, out to lunch under the guise of talking about work-related matters when what you really want to do is eventually sleep with her. Ask if she wants to have lunch, with no qualifications. We don't tell her we want to bang her, but we don't hide it either. Our intent is strong in our heads, vague in our words, and assertive through our actions, a balance that is only mastered with experience. I often talk to a girl in a club with my hand resting on top of her ass, while at the same time teasing her that there's no way it's going to work out between us. The opposite of a compliment is an insult, something you should also avoid. If we had a linear scale with a compliment on one end being a 1, and an insult on the other end being a 10, some of the material you've read so far would reach into the 6 range. Their purpose is to let a girl know that you aren't impressed with her, even if below the surface you really are. The more you show her you're impressed, the more likely she'll perceive her value as being too high for you, and sex withholding will follow as a result. While saying, you're too old for me, may seem like an insult on the surface. It's taken as a joke when you've already established a fun and playful vibe. Context here is important. If you were talking about something boring like politics all night, and then all of a sudden you tell her she's too old for you, she'll be offended. But if you were already joking around with her for a while, she'll know it's just a part of your personality. Inevitably, some girls will be insulted by your humor and think, "Who does this guy think he is?" While I don't apologize to any girl who takes my humor the wrong way, I definitely don't continue to push her buttons when she's already upset. To me, her annoyance is either a sign of incompatibility or a bad line on my part. Did I accidentally say the wrong thing, or was she offended at a line that girls normally respond well to? I make a judgment call if the interaction can be saved, or if there's another girl around that my time could be better spent with. Because trying to convince her that you were joking is a form of supplication. It's best to move on if your material is poorly received. The goal of material in the middle of your compliment/insult scale is to make her aware of her own faults instead of yours. Once the focus is taken off you, she'll be much more susceptible to game. A good way to disguise a compliment is through the "I thought you were" routine. It lets the girl know you are rating and evaluating her for negative qualities, even if in reality she doesn't have many. Use this on the cutest girls you meet, because average-looking girls with low self-esteem won't be able to handle it. Here's the structure. "I thought you were a little cold and unfriendly, but now that I've gotten a chance to talk to you, I don't think you're like that at all." Her eyes are going to open wide, and she may say she doesn't believe you think she's cold. In that case, say, "No, that's why I said I thought you were. That was my first impression, but I don't believe that now," which is good. When she's interested. Before we talk about girls who are interested in you, first I have to give you some bad news. Most of your approaches won't fare well. You may not be a girl's physical type. She may have a boyfriend or a crush on some other guy. She may be on her period, or she may not like your hairstyle. It could be one of hundreds of reasons, many of which you can do nothing about. Some nights you'll have to approach 5 girls until you come across one that even wants to hear your opener. And even then, not every girl is going to be open to your game. She may call you out, make fun of you, or challenge everything you say. If she's being argumentative, say, "Wow, you're really feisty. Are you always like this?" If she doesn't start acting the way you want, walk away. The last thing you need is for one girl with an agenda to mess up your day or night. Just let it roll off your back and find a girl who is more receptive to meeting someone new. In your development, you'll achieve micro-accomplishments over an extended period of time where you don't get rejected as much. That sounds tough, but it's the only way to build a skill set that will last. A girl who likes you will ask questions about you. This is the number one way to know if a girl is interested in you or not. It means she wants more information about the guy she's thinking about banging. Her questions will serve as an indicator of your progress, while also giving you the opportunity to build the attraction even further. The first question an interested girl will ask is, "What's your name?" Give a straight answer and ask for her name in return. I never ask a girl for her name first, because then I'd lose an opportunity to gain information about how she feels about me. If she talks to you for 1 hour and doesn't ask you for your name, that means she's just using you to entertain herself. The fact that girls are predictable in their line of getting to know you questions means you have an opportunity to deliver optimized answers in routine form. The second most common question is, "What do you do?" I hate this question because it shows a lack of originality on the girl's part. Job titles should come out naturally in conversation over an extended period of time, at the point where you can almost guess what the other person does for a living. But girls want to quickly be able to judge your pecking order in society and guess how much money you make. When asked this question, most guys do their best to impress the girl by whipping out a business card or stating how many subordinates he has. But what they're doing is seeking validation in the hope of getting her panties wet. The only time it does that is if you're a celebrity or famous artist. When a girl asks what you do, give her an answer that clearly shows you're not seeking her approval. I like to have fun with this question, so I have a couple favorite responses. The first one, "Right now I'm unemployed. I sit at home in my father's basement most of the day, surfing message boards on the internet. Then I go to the bookstore and read books for free because the library is too dirty for me." She'll ask if you're serious. Say that you are, and then smile. Resist the urge to tell her what you really do. And bust her if she persists, saying, "You've only known me for so-and-so minutes. What about my job could possibly tell you more than a natural conversation with me?" Now she'll think you have something to hide, but that's okay. because you're putting out a mysterious and shady vibe that girls are drawn to. Answer number two, I live off the land. Let her ask what that means. I have a small plot of land where I grow organic crops. I sell what I don't eat at the local farmer's market. That's how I can afford to drink here with you right now. I have a very simple lifestyle. Accuse her of judging you if she says she doesn't believe your story. I go on to tell her made-up details about how I grow the specific crops, butter, lettuce, and organic watermelons. Other than your name, you want to hold off a bit before you give real answers about yourself. There's a chance that a girl with a princess personality will be turned off by the fact that you don't feed her information on demand. She'll need to know right now what you do for a living, or else she won't be able to bear spending another minute talking to you. I let these girls go because if she needs to know what I do before she can talk to me, she isn't all that interested in getting banged. The next common question girls ask is, how old are you? Your answer to this question should be, guess. Constantly giving straight answers sucks the energy out of male-female interactions. Again, be a mysterious and shady character that she has to work to get information out of. This technique keeps the conversation going and steers you clear of an interview vibe. Other than the where do you live and what's your name questions, your stock answer should be guess until you come up with something more fun. You'll run into girls who respond to guess with something like, I don't want to play games and guess. This translates to, I want you to answer in a way I desire. Not only do these types of girls want their needs met first, but in a way they dictate. It's hard to tell where you stand with a girl until she starts asking questions. Even though you must be chatty and dominate the conversation early on, you have to be able to pick up on whether she's enjoying your presence or not so you don't waste your time. When you're talking to someone you don't like, you give clear signals of disinterest. You turn your body away from them, maintain little eye contact, and speak the least number of words possible. You do everything you can to discourage the person from continuing. You rarely ask questions because if you did, the person would keep on talking, and you definitely don't want that. In the first few minutes of an interaction, a girl may give off similar signs of disinterest. This is normal and doesn't necessarily mean she doesn't want to talk to you. She just may not be sure about you yet. To be sure, you're going to continue for another few minutes until you're reasonably certain she's not interested. This prevents you from walking away too early if she's a little shy or self-conscious about how she's appearing to nearby friends. If you're unsure of her interest level, ask yourself, is she engaging me? Does she recognize you as an interesting human being with ideas and experiences that she wants to get to know? Is she maintaining eye contact and putting in effort to make it a smooth interaction? Is talking to her more enjoyable than having your teeth pulled? If not, walk away without regret and move on to the next girl. It usually won't get to that. She'll just turn away without saying anything, or let you know that she's going to talk to her friends. If she's asking personal questions, maintaining eye contact, and assisting with the conversation, squash any doubt in your mind about her interest level, and proceed as if she wants to have sex with you. The question you don't want to hear is, are you a comedian? This may happen in early stages of testing material. When a girl says that, she's really saying, I don't mind you too much, but you're coming across as fake. Either your material sounds too perfect, like it happened to someone else, or you're speaking at her instead of with her, as if you're on stage giving a performance. This is a problem with guys who use all routines and no threads. Since you won't have more than a few routines memorized, I don't expect you to get this complaint. While you'll say things that will make her laugh, remember that humor is just a means to an end. If you feel like you're entertaining a girl, providing her with laughs and getting no real engagement in return, drop all routines and move toward casual conversation. Body language is sometimes a useful indicator of whether she's interested or not. If during the conversation you note a negative change in her body language, where she appears to be closing off to you by folding her arms or turning away, change what you're doing. But if she's touching you, or herself, more, you can take that as a sign of serious interest and escalate the interaction. Remember that the only reason we care whether a girl is interested or not is because it acts as a green light for us to start driving the interaction towards sex. It's okay if a girl turns out not to be interested in you, because your willingness to approach means there will be more opportunities before the day or night is over. Proper game is based on the model of abundance, where it's understood that there is a surplus of quality single women who want to have sex. Guys who do poorly with women have an attitude based on a model of scarcity, in which the world collapses upon itself if he doesn't get with that one special girl. When you have to stop talking to a girl or a group of girls because of disinterest, don't think about what happened until the night is over. The temptation to immediately figure out what you did wrong will waste valuable approach time, especially when it's likely you did nothing wrong at all. Do all of your thinking at home, where you look at each situation and think about what you could have done differently to have made it go more smoothly. In some cases, it will be obvious that you said one thing that got an immediate negative reaction, but in most cases, it won't be. Either way, reinforce the things you did right. There will be times when reflecting makes me see that I tried to be too funny or I talked too much. Sometimes I walked away too soon or showed too much interest early on. Don't beat yourself up about it. Just make a mental note so you can correct it for the next night out. Once you've repeated the process a couple hundred times, you'll deliver an optimized game you feel more comfortable with. Once she's showing interest, start with the main escalation technique, touching. While talking and showing your personality will get her interested, touching is what leads to intimacy. It also lets her know that you're a physical man who is experienced around women. How you start touching a girl depends upon the venue, but for now, let's assume you're in a place that serves alcohol. If I'm talking to a girl and she's interested, asking me questions, I introduce touching around the 10-minute mark. The first move is when you touch her right above her hip bone with one of your hands. Your first hip touch should only be for 1 or 2 seconds to probe her reaction. If she doesn't recoil or take great notice to your touch, odds are she won't, wait a few minutes and then go back to the same spot for a longer 10-second touch. Then wait a few more minutes and return for a longer half-minute touch. By the 45-minute mark, your hand should be resting comfortably on her hip. Most girls won't say anything, but every now and then a girl will ask, "What's your hand doing?" Your answer? It's on the side of your hip. Stand firm without moving your hand until she backs away or physically removes your hand from her body. It's rare that a girl will do this unless you introduced it when she wasn't interested in the first place. This move tests for any major physical issues that would prevent you from moving forward. After you pass the 1 hour mark, begin to explore the space. Move it to the small of her back and then to the top of her ass. An extension of the hip move is the double hip move. When she says something shocking, insulting, or weird, use your hands to grab both sides of her hips, pulling her a little closer and say, "What? Are you serious?" while maintaining laser eye contact. Then, after a couple seconds, relax and let both hands go. Hip touches are difficult or impossible to pull off if you're both sitting down or in a coffee shop type of venue. In that case, you can introduce touching by commenting on jewelry she's wearing on her hands or wrist. Pretend that a piece of jewelry suddenly caught your eye and touch it as you ask her what it means. Leave your hands touching her for an extra second or two longer than necessary. This move isn't a panty wetter on its own, but it will make it easier to touch her later in a more desirable environment. The importance of touching will be more apparent when we discuss the kiss. Landmines. There are variables that can make the simple act of talking to a girl difficult. The first is noise level. After you've been in a loud club for a couple hours, it becomes very hard to hear, and because constantly saying "what" will stall a conversation, it's better to mimic her facial expression and nod after she says something you couldn't quite make out. Be careful, though. You'll eventually nod to a question you shouldn't. The best way to combat loud noise is to dance, where you talk to her for maybe 10 to 15 minutes, then gently grab her hand and say, "Let's go dance." Don't ask. The second variable is cock blocking. This is probably the most frustrating aspect of the game, since you can't control it. Unless the girl is very into you, she'll allow herself to be extracted by her fat girlfriend. It's a shame because with just a little more time, you could have turned a girl's lukewarm interest into something stronger. In other words, cock blocking will cost you notches, and there's little you can do about it. But there's one defensive routine you can run when you see a cock block coming. I know exactly what your friend over there is going to do. In 3 minutes, she's going to come here and try to take you away. And do you know why? Do you see her talking to a cool guy right now? I don't. If she was talking to a guy she liked, I don't think she'd worry about me talking to you. I don't understand why girls want to prevent their friends from having a good time. What you're doing is planting a seed in her mind that her friend is going to try to rob her of a good experience. Guys won't cock-block you as much, because many of them understand the rules of the game. But every now and then you'll run into a guy who really doesn't like the fact that you're trying to get into a girl's pants. Sometimes these guys are just looking for your respect or approval because talking to them for a couple minutes and asking them simple questions disarms them and gains you more time. In general, it's best to be friendly to those who you think may cock-block you. But let them talk to you first, because you don't want to give them too much encouragement. On the other hand, when you see another player who is doing well, your instinct may be to doubt him or be jealous. This is natural because the competitive nature of the game makes things seem zero-sum, that if some other guy is getting laid, it's at your expense. This attitude will slow your growth more than anything. Instead of hating or being jealous, learn from those guys by watching and asking questions. Every player has at least one golden line or move that's worth incorporating into your game. If a guy is being persistent about moving in on a girl you like, ask, "Do you like her?" Your tone should be neutral, as if you're just curious. If he says yes, you can put him in a weak position by saying, "Well, then you should buy her a drink." If he buys a drink, he's just another beta in the bar. And if he doesn't, it looks awkward because he just made a declaration of his affection. If he says he doesn't like her or weasels out of answering, say, "Well, there are a lot of girls here. I'm sure you'll find someone you like if you keep trying. Don't give up." He's done. It's as if you're giving him relationship advice. He's going to scramble and say something like, "Oh, well, I'm not here to pick up girls." He just put his dick in a box. Without raising your voice or having to get tough, you've neutralized a male cock blocker and can resume running game on your girl. The third variable is the interruption. You'll be talking to a girl and things will be going fine when all of a sudden a friend from nowhere recognizes her and they start a conversation. When this happens, it's best to be proactive to prevent being excluded. Since she has just met you, she probably won't introduce you to the friend, especially if she doesn't know your name yet. Therefore, 10 seconds after their reunification, take the initiative by sticking out your hand and introducing yourself, whether her friend is a guy or a girl. Oftentimes, their conversation will be inside in nature, giving you little opportunity to insert yourself into the dialogue. You must make a judgment call on how long the conversation will last, because you don't want to put yourself in the weak position of sitting in silence, waiting for them to finish. If it looks like you won't be included and their conversation will continue for more than a couple minutes, say with a smile, "I'll let you two catch up." Don't tell her when or if you'll be coming back. After you walk away, assume the approach is finished and that you won't be talking to her again, because odds are that you won't. Free your mind to meet other girls and hope she sees you talking to them. If you do see her again and she doesn't avert eye contact, reapproach her. The best way to reapproach a girl is to casually notice her, smile, and say, "You're still here?" You want to continue the conversation as if you hadn't already talked to her, which means you need to hook her attention again and rebuild the energy that was lost while you were away. While reapproaching is worth your time, the reason it ended the first time will probably surface again. Ideally, you'll want to push interactions without breaks, so a reapproach isn't necessary. If a girl reapproaches you, it's a strong indicator of her interest. A tough spot you'll sometimes be placed in is when you've been talking to a girl for a couple minutes, and she asks you to hold her drink or coat. It seems like a simple request, but it has strong meaning in the interaction. Understand, you're not a drink holder or a coat stand. There's no reason for you to hold anything she owns. If she can't handle something with her own two hands, then she shouldn't have brought it out. When was the last time you were at a bar and asked a friend to hold your coat? That said, if you've been talking for less than 10 minutes and she asks for such a favor, shake your head. As she looks at you as if you're crazy, say, "But I hardly know you," with a slight smirk. She'll still be shocked, and you'll be tempted to explain, but don't. Simply stand there like a rock and continue the conversation as if she hadn't asked. Before you think you've lost her because you refused to be a drink holder, realize that you didn't have her in the first place. This type of girl likes attention and wants to see how much she can get random guys to invest in her. A girl with a sincere interest in you will do the opposite. She'll make it easy on you by not asking favors for as long as possible. If she asks for a favor after 15 minutes and the interaction is going well, decide based on the circumstance. If she's making a strong effort for your attention and you're in a good mood and want to hold her drink, then go for it. But make sure you raise a stink about it beforehand. Say, I just met you and you're already asking me for favors? Whatever you do, do not hold something for her while she uses the bathroom. She'll be gone for at least 5 minutes while you stand like a chump holding a lady's jacket. A similar situation is buying drinks for girls on the night you meet them. Don't do it. First, it sends a message that the only way you can hold her attention is by purchasing something for her. It says that you're not confident of your own ability to get her interested, and that you use purchases to break the ice or to keep the conversation going. Second, there's a breed of girls who make it a competition to see how many free drinks they can get from strange men. When they go out, they only take their ID and nothing else, because there will be a line of beta males willing to pay for their entertainment. Finally, buying drinks is too cliche. You might as well ask her how often she comes to the bar. Stay away from moves that have been made a million times before. A girl who asks you to buy her a drink is worse than a girl who asks you to hold one. She didn't come out to meet a guy, she came to drink for free. These girls tend to be the biggest game players and attention whores. Reply to her question by saying something like, "Funny, I was about to ask you to buy me a drink." Or, "Too bad I spent all my money on hookers and drugs last night, or I'd be more than happy to buy you as many drinks as you want." Or, "Do I look like the kind of guy who buys random girls drinks? Come on now." I may point to a guy next to us and say, "He looks like a guy who buys girls drinks. You should go talk to him." Such girls are a waste of your time. There are some instances where it may feel natural to buy a drink for a girl who you've been talking to for a while. Sometimes you're having such a great time that you just want to buy a round for her and her friends. While this is a more acceptable situation, I still advise against it. No matter how pure your intentions, buying her things sends an early message that you're ready to give without receiving. She must do more to get something than just stand there and laugh at your jokes. There's a drink loophole I use to avoid buying girls drinks. If I'm having a good time with a girl, I buy one drink and share with her from the same straw. I offer by saying, "I'm not trying to get too drunk tonight," to make it easier for her to accept. The message you send is that she can only share what you're having. Every sip is earned because you can take the drink away anytime you want. Joke around by saying, "Hey, save some for me." If she's feisty or a ball buster, before you hand her the drink, say, "Wait, you don't have any germs, right?" Drink sharing means you share saliva, which psychologically prepares her for a bigger fluid exchange down the road. For all other favors a girl may seek, ask yourself if she deserves it. Most of the time, their answer will be no. Girls have a built-in program designed to get as much as possible from men while putting in the least amount of work. I believe they do this to tell if a guy likes them or not, because they don't trust their instincts when it comes to determining a guy's interest. There are girls who get banged by guys but still ask friends if he really likes her or not. Do the least number of favors as possible to keep her unsure of your interest level. Wingmen. The concept of the wingman has been popularized somewhat recently. The idea is for a friend to occupy the ugly girlfriend while you talk to the girl you like. Some guys take an extra step and define a wingman as someone who helps them to get laid. The problem with this definition is if you don't get laid, you'll be tempted to blame your friend instead of figuring out what you could have done better. The purpose of your friend shouldn't necessarily be to help you, but to not hurt you. It's better to have a silent friend who just stands there like a cardboard cutout than to have someone who isn't cool and says stupid things that disturb the flow of your game. Regardless of how good or bad a wingman your friend is, your success is determined by you alone. Any unfortunate mistake your friend makes is just another event in the fluid and unpredictable nature of pickup. Be careful about accusing your friend of cock-blocking. I find that those who are quick to make such accusations have a scarcity frame when it comes to girls. Your friend blew your chance with a girl you hadn't made out with yet, and now your night is ruined because there are no more cute girls. Right. Except in extreme circumstances, accusing someone of cock-blocking is a cop-out. The reason I don't accuse guys of cock-blocking is because I either do something about it when it happens, or I admit defeat. If a drunk buddy is cock-blocking me, I adjust on the fly by dominating the conversation and physically blocking him out. He can whine later, but he's not getting in the way of what I want because he's too lazy to approach his own girls. To crush him, I tell the girl to excuse my buddy because he's really drunk. That way, I cock-block my cock-blocking friend, and we'll both get over it the following day. This is a better way to deal with it than moping like a little bitch at the end of the night. The man with the best game gets the girl, and I see nothing wrong with competing with a friend who isn't following the basic rules of the game. If I approach a group, I get to pick the girl I want to go after. And if a friend bombs with a girl that starts showing me interest, she's fair game. While it may be a good idea to give him hints about how both of you can succeed better, you're not in the business of molding men. That said, it's important for you and your friends to have a way to determine who gets which girl. The easiest way is to establish a rule that whoever approaches the group gets to pick which girl he wants. This is fair because of the difficulty in approaching. If you and your friend go after the same girl, not only will neither of you get her, but she'll enjoy an incredible ego boost. Another important rule is to know when backup should arrive. I find 2 minutes to be best, so help the guy who did the approach 2 minutes after he makes it. When you do a group approach and your friend comes in 2 minutes later, introduce him to everyone with, "This is my friend Stan. He's the coolest guy I know." Then continue running game. You may want to turn an attractive lady friend into a wingman. The female wingman is supposed to let other females know that you're accepted on this earth by at least one woman. But we use her differently than a male wingman. While a buddy is by your side to talk to the girlfriends and absorb distractions, a female wingman is there to increase your social standing. When you enter a venue, talk to your lady friend long enough for other girls to see. Make the interaction ambiguous by talking close and encouraging her to touch you from time to time. Then approach girls on your own. They'll now be more receptive to your game. The purpose of a female wingman is to just increase the success rate of your approaches. While you can bring your lady friend along on the approach, I find that the girls tend to talk too much among themselves, severely limiting my ability to game. Don't let a girl do the approach for you. Approaching a girl you want to sleep with is your job and no one else's. Lady friends help create jealousy, an emotion that humans respond to more powerfully than logic. Many men continue to use logic to get women by buying expensive clothes, plucking their eyebrows, driving a luxury automobile, and getting extra glossy business cards. They only see limited success using this strategy because they aren't hitting a woman's emotional buttons of jealousy, drama, and anger. You're more likely to engage a woman if you make her jealous than if you try to impress her with a car that other men also have. For example, a girl I used to date always told me about guys hitting on her, including where they hit on her and what they said. She laughed off these stories but left them open-ended. While I knew she was using a trick to make me think that she had high value, I couldn't help but conclude she was a desirable woman with high value. This means that even though a girl may know you're trying to make her jealous, she feels the emotion anyway. While it's best not to cross the line and brag about the girls who like you, don't feel the need to hide it. She should know that you talk to other girls, and if she ever accuses you of being a flirt, just say you're an outgoing, friendly person. Going out alone. It's not always going to be the case that you have a wingman to go out with. If it's a Friday or Saturday night and you're having nothing to do, you should go out alone. I've gotten so used to it that unless I meet a guy who is fun, dependable, and most importantly, cool, I'd rather go out alone. In the past, I used to go out with any guy who had a heartbeat, but picking up girls is challenging enough, especially in foreign countries. that I don't need some slapdick to make it harder just because I'm too insecure to fly solo. There are two downsides to going out alone. First, it's 10 times harder to get into that amped-up social mood where approaching girls is more a natural extension of having fun. Every approach feels like a trial and something you need to push yourself toward. To combat this, I put a number in my head, usually 10, and venue permitting, I do that many approaches before I'm allowed to go home. Sometimes I do more than 10 if girls are nibbling. Since it usually takes me 3 solo approaches to warm up, if I stop at 5, I'm stopping too soon. The second downside of flying solo is that you have no wingman to occupy a friend. Isolation takes longer and sometimes never comes. I've been in many situations where I knew the girl liked me, but her friends wouldn't buzz off. So I had to stick around for several hours until there was a moment I could finally isolate. As long as the girl likes you and you can stay awake longer than her friends, isolation will happen, but it doesn't guarantee you'll get the bang. Sometimes what it takes is having to commit your entire night and early morning to a girl, but that can allow an isolation move in itself if you're near a beach. How about we watch the sunrise? It's a problem if a friend is involving herself in the conversation instead of just lingering in the vicinity. In that case, it's hard to get into the flirting and teasing stage with your girl. Instead, you're forced to be a clown and engage them both at the same time. The conversation remains generic, solid attraction isn't built, and the girls eventually walk away. The upside of flying solo, however, is freedom. You can do whatever you want, wherever you want, and not have to put up with another guy's issues, problems, embarrassing game, or passive cock-blocking. Since most guys won't enhance your game, there's a good chance you'll actually be doing yourself a favor by flying solo. There's also a certain level of purity that comes with going out alone. It makes anything you get that night more satisfying. You went out alone and pulled the girl you wanted. You proved to yourself that you can do it without any help, that the pursuit of pussy is a burning desire that doesn't come and go according to whom you happen to be friends with or what country you're currently in. If you're going out alone, it's crucial that you get into a social mood well before nightfall. If I know I'm flying solo on a particular night, I do my best to make small talk with random people during the day, whether it's with cashiers or an obese family sitting next to me in Starbucks. When I'm with a wingman, I can wake up from a 3-hour nap and get into a social mood by exchanging a few jokes with him. But while solo, the process is a full-day affair. The last thing you want to do is go out alone after jerking off on the internet all day. When it's time to go out, get to the club or bar early by arriving at least 1 hour before peak time. If the club gets going at midnight, show up at 10:30. Ideally, you want to get there just a little after it opens, when the line is starting to develop. Talk to the people in line, whether they're guys or girls. There are 3 questions that you can easily ask. The first, is this the line for everyone? Cocky humor follow-up. I wish I hadn't left my gold VIP double extra platinum card at home so I could cut to the front. The second, do you know how much the cover is tonight? Self-deprecating humor follow-up. Oh, really? I should have borrowed more money from my mom then.